Welcome, everyone, to a new episode of The Tap. I am your host, author Andrew Hess.
And I'm Justin DeFrancisco. What do we got on tap for today, Andrew?
There's too much to really go over. So we have WWE in general has now had a return of the WWE live audience this last week. First with SmackDown, then with their pay-per-view, Money in the Bank, and also now continuing on with Raw. So that's what we're going to be covering, are those three shows. And the awkwardness that followed because of their production of it all and the continuation of just them being stupid. Not the fans, I'm talking about the WWE. So we're going to kind of cover and bounce back and forth between all of the shows to really kind of go over a few things. So I'm actually going to first go with the rundown from SmackDown, and then we're going to pretty quickly actually transfer over to Money in the Bank, because there wasn't much of SmackDown that was actually good, in my opinion.
Yeah, and once you get to the pay-per-view, the show before that sort of becomes
irrelevant.
Because most feuds are coming to a head, or yeah, either that or it's the same feuds we've been watching for 6 months anyway. So
more or less. So first off, SmackDown kicks off with Vincent Kennedy McMahon coming out. And he gets like this huge pop from the crowd, and literally he walks out and just says, "Where the hell have you been?" And then walks away, which just left everything just so super awkward. And just kind of really stupid, in my opinion. We had Roman Reigns teaming with his cousins, the Usos, getting the win over Edge and the Mysterios. We had Sami Zayn cutting a promo, which brought out Finn Balor, and Finn Balor just destroyed Sami Zayn really quick. We had Shotzi and Tegan Nox getting the win over Natalya and Tamina in literally, it was like a 3 minute match.
Yep.
And ended with another roll up victory. We had Bianca Belair getting the win over Carmella as she defended the women's title for SmackDown. And the thing that really annoys me about this one really quick, and I'm not even going to really go into it too much, is literally she winds up beating Carmella this past week. And then like the next day they announced that Bianca challenges Carmella again next week, even though Carmella is the challenger.
Yeah. Like, what's stupid with that? And that's not the first time did that with Bayley too.
She did it twice with Bayley.
Why is she challenging the challengers?
I don't know, but it doesn't make
any sense.
No,
it makes her look so dumb, and
it makes her look like a pathetic champion.
Yeah, exactly.
She has
to prove it to herself. Like, yeah, she doesn't even believe that she can beat them, so she has to like challenge them again to prove to herself that she can beat them. Like,
it's so bizarre and just so ridiculous. I don't like that whole gimmick of it all. No. Then we had Alpha Academy doing a promo backstage, and Cesaro interrupts, and Otis attacks Cesaro. We had Cesaro getting the win then over Otis by disqualification because Chad Gable gets involved. We had a Heyman promo, a Corbin promo, and then finally Seth Rollins gets the win in the Fatal 4-Way match against Big E, Kevin Owens, and King Nakamura. Yep. You guys didn't miss much if you didn't watch SmackDown.
Definitely not.
So I'm just not really, it was kind of a very lackluster event to really kick off the return of the live crowd. And I know the thing that I actually did like, I mean, don't get me wrong, the matches themselves were good matches, except for the SmackDown women's tag match that they had. But the only thing that really had like me pulling for anything was Finn Balor returning. That was the only thing that I was just like, oh man, that was really cool.
Which, so is he now like just on the main roster again?
He got brought back up onto the main roster.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Well, that's because he went down to NXT and he had fun for a little bit, and then they had nothing for him to do there either. So he might as well have just gone back to the main roster and then maybe got on TV in front of more people and like, you know, at least maybe do something. Like, I don't there's more room on the main roster when it comes to like TV time. So, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to seeing what Finn Balor will do on SmackDown. I think it's going to be a nice, refreshing change, and I think that it's basically going to end up being more like of a kind of like another, what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of like a segue feud. So after what we're going to discuss after this whole Money in the Bank pay-per-view piece and what's coming up, I think that it's going to end up being like another feud that Balor will end up probably challenging Roman at some point, probably towards the latter part of the year, going into Royal Rumble. And that's probably going to be like that feud to kind of keep things going and just kind of someone else that Roman Reigns can just destroy for the time being.
I don't believe that WWE believes that Finn Balor is a main eventer. So I don't know about that.
No, just right now that they're putting everything on Roman Reigns because they're trying to build him up to be like this monstrous guy because he's going to feud against The Rock for WrestleMania.
But yeah, you could put Finn Balor at the top of the list of 20 people on SmackDown and hand it to Vince McMahon, and that's the last name he will choose on the list to fight Roman Reigns.
I wouldn't say it would be the last person, but
it depends who the 20 names are. But still, my point is that I don't think that that's where they're going, considering to start off, they had him, you know, just squash basically Sami Zayn, which Sami Zayn, everybody squashes Sami Zayn, so that doesn't really say much for where he's going yet. So we'll see. Time will tell. It's only his first week back, so you know we have no idea. But we'll see if your prediction may come to light eventually.
I'm usually pretty.
No, yeah, you are. You're usually pretty good with it.
I got like probably like an 80%.
You know what's funny is usually me too, because we usually agree 80% of the time, and then like the other 20%, one of us is either right or the other one is. So
yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
All right. So really quick, we're gonna now switch gears into the actual Money in the Bank pay-per-view match. Pay-per-view itself. And I'll give you the rundown from that, because I will say the Money in the Bank event was good for somewhat. So there's issues with it in general, but first off, we have new SmackDown tag team champions. The Usos defeat the Mysterios on the kickoff show. That's my first gripe when it comes to this pay-per-view. First off, they had two really good matches on SmackDown against each other on the same night that both ended in stupid ways and no decisive, like real decisive victor on those times. But now you're going to have a really good match be the kickoff show match and do a title swap on it. And I'm just like, that should have been at least the opening match for the pay-per-view.
Well,
not a kickoff show match.
Well, okay, I am annoyed that it's a kickoff show match, considering that originally it was supposed to be Bayley and Bianca was supposed to be on this pay-per-view, so they could have fit this match in on the main card somewhere. But also, I see the other side of it, where if you have to have a pre-show match, this was the least built of any match on the card, because the Mysterios were like non-existent up until the last show, you know, leading up to the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I get that it was on the pre-show, because who even barely knew that this feud existed, you know, like outside of that, the Usos just kept saying they wanted the tag team titles and never even mentioned the Mysterios by name. Like, they just wanted the tag team titles. It didn't matter who the champions were. So it wasn't really a noteworthy feud, even though, of course, they're going to put on a banger because the Usos, it's Rey Mysterio, and Dominic's not terrible, you know. So, it's a good match. You know, yeah, it's a shame it's on the pre-show, but some match has to be on the pre-show.
Yeah, I agree that I agree that some sort of match like should be on the pre-show.
Either that or it just shouldn't be a pre-show. But whatever.
That's my thing. I think that there shouldn't really be a pre-show, really. I mean,
and if there is, it should just be like
hyping up the
20 minutes of them talking at the desk, not like a match and then them talking at the desk and then a match, you know, like, and then the pay-per-view starts. Like, no.
Yeah, no, that's the way it should end up being. I mean, like, I'm okay with there being like a match. Like, honestly, if you kind of go over stuff when it came to Monday Night Raw, honestly, they should have scrapped the Sheamus Humberto Carrillo thing from Raw. Yeah. That you could have put that as the pre-show match.
And oh my God, when we get to that, that makes me so mad that Sheamus and Humberto had another match this week.
No, I agree on that one. I'm not really thrilled on that one myself.
You know what? Just so we don't have to go over it then, because it's just really quick. Only thing I have to say about it real quick is Sheamus like comes up after like Ali and Mansoor, which we'll get to when we get on the Raw, but talking to Pierce and Stoney Deville, and he and they're like, oh well, you have to, you know, face Humberto again and whatever these challenge things are, number one contender challenges that are this stupid thing that they're doing now. But he goes, oh, he's like complaining that he has to face Humberto again, and I was like, aren't we all, Sheamus? Aren't we all? Like, I feel like he was literally cutting a promo for the fans, because all he was like, really? I got to face this guy again? How many weeks in a row have I faced this guy? And I'm like, seriously, thank you. Thank you. Like, can you thank you for at least acknowledging that this feud is never ending and it's going nowhere, and Humberto is never going to beat Sheamus. I will be so shocked if it goes somewhere and Humberto actually beats Sheamus for the title. And it'll be dumb. It'll go nowhere because Humberto has no steam right now. Nobody cares. Sorry. I just took care of my rant now, though. So go ahead. Now, we don't have to cover that.
You covered the rant, so I don't even have to go ahead and discuss it.
Yep. There we go. We can just skip it all together when we go to Raw. There we go.
Yeah. All right. So any which way... when it comes down to it,
Usos are the new champs, though.
So Usos are the new champs, and we'll go into it all. So we kick off the actual show. We have the women's Money in the Bank match, and that one. Sorry.
Good.
The women's Money in the Bank match ends up being the winner is Nikki A.S.H.
Yep.
Nikki
A.S.H.
Yeah, I just call her Nikki A.S.H.
I know, it's easier, right?
It is.
I hate putting in the dots every time. I got to write it down.
I don't even put the dots in there. I really don't. Okay, so we had AJ and Omos successfully defending the Raw Tag Team titles against the Viking Raiders. We had Lashley successfully defending the WWE title against Kofi Kingston, and basically he just destroyed Kofi. I'm not even going to really go into this. I'm really annoyed at how they booked this match, because I agree that they wanted to make Lashley look strong, but they literally just like destroyed Kofi Kingston.
Yeah, we'll get on to this, because I have a rebuttal argument for why I am happy that they did it this way.
Okay. Charlotte Flair gets the win and wins the Raw Women's title from Rhea Ripley.
Thank God. At least it's off Ripley.
Yeah.
Sorry.
The men's Money in the Bank match winner is Big E.
Yep.
Which was actually pretty cool.
Yep.
And then Roman Reigns gets the win over Edge, successfully defending the Universal title. And this is now because the Usos try to get involved. Mysterios took out the Usos. Seth Rollins keeps getting involved, which then leads to a brawl between Edge and Seth Rollins after the match. And then out comes John Cena.
Yeah, let me do it. John Cena, as the memes say these days.
So
yeah, it's so good. My girlfriend makes me say it because she knows him from like acting and stuff. So every time he's in like every commercial. If you watch TV these days or you have Hulu or something, he's in every other commercial. So every time that we see him, I have to announce him as if I'm like Justin Roberts or something. so it's actually pretty funny. But now it's kind of getting old where like I tell her, no, I'm not doing it anymore now.
Yeah, I don't blame you, man. It's kind of lame, and I don't really.
Yeah, it is, but it's just the played out like meme. It's like, who is that over there? It's John Cena. Yeah, he returns, doesn't really do anything. My note from that, since now that's the end of the rundown, is that Cole freaks out like a little girl, which I thought was hilarious. Literally, like a little girl. He was like, oh my God, John Cena, can you believe it? I was like, oh my God, seriously, Cole, take your voice down a notch. Like he literally too much like freaking out like over some of the stuff too, like when Nikki Cross wins, he also freaks out like uncontrollably. Like I don't know if it was because of the fan atmosphere, because I must say I enjoyed like this, and I even enjoyed Raw more, and I was wondering, and it was definitely because there were fans there. Because I was getting hyped over some of the things because the fans were like building up the match. Like, because you forget, like, when during this coronavirus time that like there's no build, like no build up, like in the match, really. Like, you can tell a story and do like the story arc, but the fans, like, you really have to get the fans invested so you have the crowd building and building and building to a moment where they're all like, you know, on their toes and, you know, breathless, you know what I mean? Yep. So it was just awesome in that aspect. Like the crowd for all the shows, you know, I thought were as good as they should have been for the quality of product that they were watching. So I appreciate them for what they did. And they were even a little generous with some things. So yeah. I appreciate that as well.
The thing that I didn't like, though, is that I still feel like that they kept on pumping in crowd noise.
Yeah, a little bit, because I did notice during the Women's Money in the Bank match, it like at the end it seemed like there wasn't as loud of a crowd pop for like Nikki Cross, and then all of a sudden it was like a roar.
Yeah,
like, and then
even with Kofi, like the Kofi chants, it was like, yeah, it was too uniformed. It was okay. Like everyone at the exact same time chanting Kofi, Kofi, and I'm like, the crowd is never that clear when it comes to their chants and that uniformed.
There's like I can't pinpoint certain things specifically other than those couple of things, but like I did hear it at some points where it was just weird, where it was off from, like you could see people in the crowd like either sitting down or not even looking, and then you're hearing like a roar chant, and you're like and you're like, wait, who's chanting that? Is it the people behind the hard cam? Because I don't see nobody chanting.
There was very lacking amount of crowd participation when like these huge roars erupted. Like you could see in the fans, it was just like there weren't that many people clapping, there weren't that many people cheering.
Yeah, so let's start with the Women's Money in the Bank match, which for a Women's Money in the Bank match, I thought was, there haven't been that many of them, but I thought it was probably the best one, but that's just maybe recency bias.
I don't really think so.
I thought it was less botchy than a lot of the other ones. I thought that the first couple of them were really botchy.
Less botchy, yes. But in terms of the entertainment value, it was very, it wasn't
Well, Queen Botch herself, Natalia, was in this match. So what do you expect? Like, literally, people, I'm sorry. No, I don't disrespect Natalia. She's been wrestling for years. Great. I respect her. She's a great person. I'm not putting her down in any way. But I'm putting down the people that always say that she's, like, one of the greatest women's technical wrestlers. Because I can't remember the last time I've seen a Natalia match where there wasn't a botch. So that just gets me. But anyway, you know, I thought it was pretty good. It had some pretty good spots in it. I really wanted Alexa Bliss to win, and I thought Alexa Bliss was going to win. I knew that she wasn't going to get the title this way, but I just wanted to briefly touch upon that. She just basically puts her hand up with no ladder, like she was going to make the briefcase come to her, and like I just thought that was summoning so it. Cool yeah like summoning it, I because it didn't happen that way. If it would have happened that way, we all would have been like, oh, this is crap, you know. Everybody would have been like, oh, that's bull, that's so cheap, that doesn't make sense, like, you know, like that's not fair, you know what I mean? Everybody would have freaked out about it. But that's why I thought it was played so perfectly, because they teased it like it was possible. So that's the perfect way that they have to use this Alexa Bliss character, is they sort of have to find the line of like what's actually like possible and then what gets into hokey supernaturalness.
Yeah.
You know, that was a perfect, like, riding the line of, like, Alexa Bliss could just be crazy and just could think that she could make the briefcase come to her. You don't know if she could have actually done it or not. That's the kind of line that they have to ride, where they're not just making her a full-on, like, oh, I have superpowers and stuff, which we'll get on to Raw with God Awful. They brought back Lily, which I'm upset about. But it was a decent Money in the Bank match. Like, I can't say that it wasn't bad.
It was it was decent. The thing that I don't like, especially, first off, I mean, I wasn't thrilled that Nikki wound up winning it. I mean, I'm happy for her, but I'm not really thrilled that she was the one who won it. But the thing that drove me nuts about it was the actual ending of the match, because you have
the classic triple ladder spot where everybody gets on the sides of the ladders and they all go for the title and they're all hitting each other back and forth.
And exactly that. It's a classic spot. And you had six people already on the ladders fighting, and all you had to do was just have them all kind of do the crash and burn, and Nikki set up the ladder and go up and get it.
Yeah, or Nikki push off the two side ladders, then push the other one straight, knock those two people off, and then push it back, you know, up, you know, and climb up it and win.
I would have rather the actual crash and burn, like them doing moves off of it to like end it. But literally, she climbs up the ladder in back of like two women, and she's climbing up them. She's literally on top of them, and they don't feel that somebody's on top, like on their back, to like try to throw them off or anything like that. Like, it was just stupid, in my opinion. It was just like very ridiculous. And then she just like leans over and unhooks it. And I'm like, seriously, that's the finish? That's the end of this Money in the Bank? Like, that was just ridiculous.
Yeah, and well, one thing that I thought that I think is kind of funny on a lighter note about the women's Money in the Bank is that I love how Alexa Bliss, the smallest woman in the match, is treated like Big Show or Mark Henry is in a Royal Rumble. Braun Strowman. You remember that Money in the Bank Braun Strowman was in, where they buried him with all the ladders and then he still came back anyway? That's what I love. I don't know why, like, because at first, like, because everyone hated this Alexa Bliss character once it separated from the Fiend and whatever at first with the Lily thing and whatever, which I didn't like the Lily thing, but I love this character, and I love that they treat her as if she was basically Nia Jax, but yet she's like five feet. Yeah, she's 5 feet tall and weighs like maybe 115 pounds. And she's like, you know, a monster. Like everybody's scared of her. Like, I love it. It's so wrestling. Like, and it's so like, it's one of the things that I love about wrestling is that you can turn somebody who's 5 feet tall into somebody who's feared like they're a 7 foot tall monster. I love it. Love it.
All right. Let's switch gears. You wanted to go and talk about the Lashley Kofi match, so go ahead and
because you had your gripe with it. Is that okay? Raise your hand if you thought Kofi was going to win this match.
Not a single person.
Oh, I'll wait. Yeah, exactly. Nobody. So there was no real point to this match anyway. This match was
way too predictable.
It was predictable, academic, didn't need to happen. It might as well, you could erase it from the history books right now and it would do nothing. Okay. That's the point. So the fact that it was a short match where he just basically annihilated him, I would have rather that than them going back for 25 minutes in a match that I would have been bored of, because even though Kofi Kingston might have did some cool stuff and Bobby Lashley might have did some cool stuff, I wouldn't have been invested in the match because I would have known that Kofi wasn't going to win. So, yeah,
but you know what? The thing with it is that they could have actually made it where, I mean, if this was them in the Thunderdome, yeah, I completely agree with you. But with the fact that you have the return of the fans, you had something where it literally killed any kind of momentum that you actually had. Well, technically the AJ Styles, the tag team title match did that, but any other momentum that you really had in creating, like, you know, fan excitement would died in this match at that point, because Kofi Kingston just got destroyed. And you could have actually had a really good match. You could have made it at some point where he mounts like this amazing comeback, and you really do think that for a second, you know, even beyond like the fact that we all know that Bobby Lashley is going to win, they could have created just that sliver of doubt that Kofi Kingston was going to end up pulling this one out somehow, make it where like he gets these like so sudden, like near falls where it's like literally like an inch away from the mat. But that's the way that it should have been. But they wound up building it so this way Lashley looks like this incredibly dominating person, and he is.
That's what I guess they were trying. They're really trying to put him over.
And I understand why, because of the whole.
So when Goldberg beats him, it seems significant.
Well, because Goldberg won't beat him because this is the second time Goldberg's wrestling this year. Well, no, because here's the thing.
Goldberg always wins the title. Okay. When is he not? He came back and he beat Brock Lesnar in 5 minutes.
Here's the thing that I think is going to happen. I think that they're going to build it up where,
like, he's going to take it and then Lashley's going to be the dominant winner. Yeah.
Because Lashley's going to keep going.
That's why they're going to
keep the title on Lashley until WrestleMania.
You know what? You're right, because that makes a lot of sense why they're going with making Lashley this whole dominant character right now. No pun intended, because I wrote Lashley dominates this match because his finisher, besides the spear, is the Dominator. So that's what they're really trying to put over right now is that he's like this unstoppable beast.
They want to make him into the next Brock Lesnar.
I think they might have him squash Goldberg.
Think that he's going to go over on Goldberg.
But every other time, if you think about it, the end of Kevin Owens, like 300-day title reign, he beat Brock Lesnar in 5 minutes.
But it was always him taking the title for another necessary end for him to drop it to somebody else more important.
Oh, yeah, of course. He was always the placeholder, but still, then it's like the WWE titles in limbo or the Universal titles in limbo for 3 months. And it's like, what the hell?
Well, that's the problem that you run into right now. Yeah. If Goldberg does take the title, Goldberg's contract only permits him to wrestle 2 times a year. So this would be the second time that Goldberg would compete this year. And then he would not be on TV again until sometime next year with the WWE title. Right. I don't think so.
All right, WWE, don't challenge me. If Goldberg wins any title in WWE other than the 24/7 title ever again, I will not watch Raw anymore. And I will petition everybody to stop watching Raw. And I will make sure that so many people stop watching that even if it doesn't hurt you financially, that your like reputation will be so bad that you will never get your fan base back ever. And you will eventually die a slow, slow death.
Justin,
there you go.
Justin, they're already having that issue.
Exactly. But I will quicken it. I will quicken the pace on that.
Let's jump to really quick, the Charlotte Flair Rhea Ripley match, just because the match itself was probably, in my opinion, other than the men's Money in the Bank. I feel like the Charlotte Flair match was probably the match, or probably the runner-up match of the night.
Which I don't know. I thought the main event was better than this match.
That's why I said it was probably like the runner-up.
And it's because this match I would have thought it was a better match had I been interested in the feud, but I was like just not as invested in the match because the feud was just so bleh the whole time. So I was just waiting for Charlotte to hopefully, I was like, please don't let them keep it on Rhea and then extend it to like SummerSlam. I was like, please no. So I was just happy to see Charlotte win. And it was weird too, because a gripe I have with this match is not even in the match itself, is that Rhea Ripley turned heel. Like, this has been like a heel versus heel feud, okay? Yeah. And when she comes out, first of all, she has some of the most awkward, like, facial expressions. Like, she just looks so awkward. Like, she's, like, trying to be tough, and then she, like, smiles and winks. Like, when she does, like, her entrance, it's, like, so weird. Like, it just looks so awkward to me, first of all. Secondly, she comes out and she slaps fives like with the crowd as she's walking to the ring like a baby face. She does it on both sides. That's a baby face thing. I mean, if you're not a wrestling fan, you'll just be like, slapping fives, what does that mean? When you come out to the ring and you touch hands with the people in the crowd, that means you're a baby face, okay? And she's been a heel this entire feud. Like, she's the one that's been out healing Charlotte, you know.
She's been trying to be Charlotte.
And Charlotte got cheered in this match. She got booed at points. You know, some people booed her, but she got a louder reaction than Rhea Ripley got. And when she won the title, like, people popped big for it. Like, you know, because, yeah, like, this is like, I like heel Charlotte. I like her character that she's got right now. And yeah, it was a good match. I wrote down 12-time women's champ because Michael Cole ruined all of our memories because he swore that she was already an 11-time women's champ, but whatever. She's an 11-time women's champion, technically 13 with NXT. That's just it. That's the whole point of the match.
She's 14-time now with NXT.
No, because she's a 5-time Raw, 5-time SmackDown. So that's 10. 1-time Divas, that's 11. And then 2-time NXT, that's 13.
Yeah, but Wikipedia might not have been updated in time yet.
No, it did, because I looked at her wrestling history and it says all the way up to where what happens on Raw happens on Raw. Somebody updated it immediately. I checked it last night at like 12 o'clock at night and it was already updated from Raw. Because I thought that's why I was messed up, because I checked after Money in the Bank and I was like, oh, they just must not have updated it because it said she was a 5-time Raw Women's Champ. I was like, oh, so she's a 6-time Raw Women's Champ now. But no, they had already updated it. Wikipedia is on point these days. Yeah.
Would you look at that?
Yep.
All right. All right. So really quick, men's Money in the Bank.
Oh, yeah. Which, by the way, was, I thought was the best match of the night. It was my favorite match of the night. They had so many crazy spots in this match. This match, literally, like, the one thing I don't like about Money in the Bank matches and ladder matches is that they literally, they never have like a buildup. It's just like the match starts and it's like spots immediately. Like, it's like spot after spot after spot after spot. But like, these were some of the most amazing spots I had ever seen. You know, I love that John Morrison comes out. Yeah, and he makes Mike Rome re-announce him as America's Most Wanted, because he has a new shirt, and the crowd cheers, and Corey Graves is like, I'm going to buy that shirt right now. And I feel like a mark for saying this, but I agreed with Corey Graves. I was like, I want to buy that shirt right now. And I don't normally buy wrestling shirts, but I just think that shirt's hilarious.
I bought one.
Yeah. And I thought that was hilarious. Yeah. This is me coming from a guy who right now is wearing a Dunder Mifflin Paper Company shirt right now. it was just like an awesome match. So many spots. Owens does like a lion salt, like onto a ladder, like, and gets like Morrison and Rollins, who apparently were best friends. This whole match, basically, they're like best friends. They're like working over everybody. They're laughing, having a good time. I thought it was hilarious. They're like laughing and joking with each other. They're like, you know, doing the elbow bump to each other. Like, yeah, yeah, you get him. Ha 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 ha. You know, like, it was really funny. This match had a little bit of everything. There was a, like a weird, oh, I didn't get to mention, like, I'll let you, if you have anything to add on the Money in the Bank, but I forgot to mention that sixth spot in the Charlotte Rhea Ripley match, where she was like, where Rhea was going for the riptide and she like flipped Charlotte upside down, but Charlotte like held on to her hands and she was like, had her in a cradle position, and then she did that crazy suplex like from deadlift.
Yeah.
That was one of the sickest things I've ever seen, because normally when somebody tries to do that and somebody's that downward on a suplex, they end up botching it.
Oh, yeah.
But she muscled her up like Jesus Christ. But and then there was a suplex spot in the Money in the Bank, whatever it was it Owens that ended up, yeah, suplex like outside of the ring, like from inside, like he ended up like through the ladder on the outside that they set up like between the announce table and the ring. This whole match was sick. If you're gonna go back and watch anything from this pay-per-view, yeah, I would probably say watch the Charlotte and Rhea Ripley match just for that one moment that I just mentioned, and watch this match, because this match was, if you love like high flying spots and also like just great like timing and even just personality in the ring, like this was a great match overall for all those things. And then Big E, you know, surprisingly, I told you that story had a lot of steam, even though Kofi didn't win the title, but, you know, maybe Big E might win the title and then Kofi challenge him for it, is a possibility down the line. So we'll see that if that happens.
I mean, it's very possible. I'm not really, like I said, I was surprised to see Big E get the win.
Ricochet springboard swanton. That was the other move.
That was, yeah, pretty sick. That was actually what I was going to go with.
Yeah, yeah. Off the ladder, guys. Literally, like, the ladder was getting tipped over by, yeah, like, John just, Morrison, I believe.
No, he had just knocked off Riddle from the ladder.
Riddle. Pushed, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right, because Riddle's facial expression after, like, Riddle was, yeah, like, oh, my God. Literally the coolest thing I had ever seen, because it was so fast. Like, he didn't like stand on the rope. He literally, like, as soon as his feet touched the rope, he was jumping off of it. Like,
I would have liked to have seen it just straight from the ladder, not like the springboard.
No, but that, I thought that that was way harder to do.
Oh, it was,
like the land, like that was just amazing. And it looked like he got so much more like speed.
Spring off.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he had so much more speed off the flip where he almost like could have landed on his feet if he wanted to. You know, that's how much momentum you have. That was sick.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on because we got a lot.
I know. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Those were my best things, though. So the rest, I don't have as much to talk about.
It's okay. So we had Roman Reigns getting the win over Edge in the Universal title match. Mm-hmm. The match itself was great. I mean, crowd was really behind Edge. They were booing Roman. They, you know, everything was moving along pretty well. You even had at one point the referee getting knocked out. And Roman goes to use the bar from the steel chair, and Edge manages to, you know, get it away from him. Edge puts him in the cross face with the bar across the mouth to begin with. Mm-hmm. Usos try to come out. Mysterio stop them, and then out comes Seth Rollins, which now it really pushes even more so that it's going to be Rollins versus Edge at SummerSlam.
You can see the Mysterios coming out also immediately behind them.
Yeah. They were like about maybe 10 feet behind them the entire
time. Yeah. Which wasn't like, normally they don't do that. Like normally, like you won't be able to see them even if they are right behind them and pull them out of the ring. Like that was like a little bit of a camera botch there, but the only thing that I really had to say about this match, because you already said, you know, yeah, it was a pretty good match. And you explain, you know, Rollins gets involved. Rollins ends up costing Edge the match. So now it's going to be like a Rollins Edge feud, mm-hmm. Which is keeping Rollins occupied because he's technically number one contender for the title right now. But, you know, even obviously
jump on the line.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I'm saying. So that's why he needs another feud right now while, you know, they take care of, Cena and Reigns right now. But the only thing I have on this match is just something that irked me once again, which isn't even the wrestling itself, is Michael Cole, right before this match starts, says that Edge invented the Money in the Bank ladder match.
No, Jericho did.
No, I know that. That's why I wrote it down. That's my gripe, is that he goes, his name is accolades, and he's like, yeah, he's an 11-time world champion. He's a former Money in the Bank winner. He invented the Money in the Bank match, he goes after that. And I go, no, he didn't, Michael Cole. I know that you like to not mention people that aren't in WWE now, so you just forget that Chris Jericho exists. So now they're just going to say that Edge invented it because he's the first winner. You know, I think TV wise, like, no, Jericho. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Jericho even announced the match too, or like Paul Heyman did or something. But
yeah, so the match itself was Chris Jericho's idea. And
yeah, I know it was Jericho's idea, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah, on TV, it was Chris Jericho's idea, and he talked it into with Eric Bischoff, and Eric Bischoff was the one who officially put the match together.
Yeah. All right, yeah, so that's it. That's all I really had. So this, oh yeah, and then at the end, of course, yeah, which you already talked about, John Cena comes out. That's it.
And says literally nothing on camera anyway.
Yeah, literally nothing at all. He just walks around, does like kind of a stare down at Roman Reigns, gets a little closer to him, and gives him the "you can't see me," and then panders to the crowd. That's it.
Yeah. All right. So really quick, we're gonna do the Raw rundown. Yep. We open up Monday Night Raw with a John Cena promo. Which then at the very end of it, you have Riddle come out with that one. Part was like the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah.
This leads to Riddle and the Viking Raiders getting the win over Morrison, AJ, and Omos. We had an Elias promo, which then leads to Elias and Riker having a Symphony of Destruction match, with Riker getting the
win. We had a Riker staring at the camera. And then we had a recap package, which led to a Symphony of Destruction match.
We had the Mansoor, Ali, Sonya Deville, and Adam Pearce promo, which then brings Sheamus in afterwards about the whole thing about Humberto Carrillo.
And we'll skip that when we
go. We're just skipping the whole thing.
Yeah.
Charlotte Flair cutting a promo, which brought out Rhea Ripley, announced for a main event match between them. for the end of the show. Natalia and Tamina get the win over Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler.
And separate from Reggie, who wins the 24/7 title, which I actually, for some reason, popped for.
I kind of like that one, too. But
Yeah,
Sheamus destroy Umberto. You had Lashley, Kofi recap, Lashley promo. Lashley then takes on Keith Lee. And then we have a Goldberg-Lashley promo slash stare down. And you could tell with the whole Goldberg thing, there was way a lot more piped in crowd noise. Jinder Mahal cuts a promo, which Drew McIntyre comes out and lays out Shanky with the chair. We had Jeff Hardy come back to his older music.
No more words.
No more words.
I love that song. I always used to use it in the video game.
But he ends up beating Karrion Kross, and it was like about like a 3-4 minute match
with no Scarlett Bordeaux.
No Scarlett. It was a roll up victory. It was just really lame and really horrible way to go and treat your current NXT champion.
And babyface Jeff Hardy with the heel roll up with using the ropes.
Then afterwards you had a Karrion Kross promo. Then we had an Alexa Playground with Eva and Doudrop
and Lily.
with the fakest trip and fall ever.
That was so bad.
And then we had Charlotte Flair losing to Rhea Ripley by disqualification during the Raw Women's title match. So Charlotte Flair keeps the title, but then Rhea Ripley attacks Charlotte after the match, and then out comes Nikki Ash, cashing in Money in the Bank, and becomes the new Raw Women's Champion. I'm not really going to go into the show that much. Obviously, the Lashley Goldberg thing was pretty much anticipated. We already kind of knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
What I was a little shocked about that they actually had Keith Lee be his opponent last night, because Keith Lee has been off TV for like ever. And I thought it was great to see Keith Lee, and he actually put on a decent show against Lashley. So I was actually pleasantly surprised about that.
We had a Keith Lee return. And let me, one of the few things I have to say about the show is, okay, first of all, I never thought I'd say this, but like, I missed John Cena opening up Raw. I didn't miss it for the years that it was happening, but I think it was just because the crowd was back. But like, because nobody hypes up a crowd like John Cena, besides The Rock, or, you know,
Rock can really do it.
But Cena's pretty good though. Like, come on.
I'd put Cena he's probably not, in like, the listen, third.
Yeah, like, listen, he's not like the greatest of all time, all right? But he's been around long enough to earn respect. You know, like he's good. He wouldn't be where he is if he wasn't at least decent. True. You know, as much as your old the early 20-year-old in you is screaming Cena sucks right now, but you know, I know, but I was the huge Cena mark back in the day, that's probably why.
My thing with it though isn't about like, you know, doing the whole Cena sucks thing. It's just I hate part timers being brought in. You have WWE has so much talent, and they're using it just to try to get like fan attendance and, you know, like it comes to the ratings, but you keep on just burying the same guys that really deserve it. I mean, like you said, Ricochet put on a hell of a performance at Money in the Bank. Had
Kevin Owens, like, too.
Kevin Owens, Kevin Owens put on a great show. Had, you know, what was I going to say? Big E getting the win with the Money in the Bank match. But it's just like none of it had any impact on Raw because John Cena's there.
And
then the return of Goldberg.
I'm just saying, I guess it was a combination of the crowd and because it was something different, because we hadn't seen it in a while. So to me, it was, and that he called Roman Reigns, quote, I'm going to bleep it out, a effing a-hole, which he bleeped out.
He didn't say the effing part.
Oh, well, they bleeped it out on mine, so I couldn't tell what he said exactly.
They bleeped out him saying Roman Reigns' name.
No, but he said he called him an a-hole or something like that. Yeah, okay.
But before that, before he actually said an a-hole, he actually ended up, all they bleeped out at that point was because Roman Reigns is an a-hole. And they bleeped out that whole part.
Yeah,
because they didn't know how he was going to say
it. Yeah. And by the way, Peacock, step your game up, because I had to go through a legal means to watch Raw, but yet I can watch 1989 SummerSlam if I want to, or a random Raw from like 2 years ago, but I can't watch the current Raw like I used to be able to on WWE Network. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was on USA Network or like, you know, SmackDown Fox, but you could still watch it live on the network. So like, get with that, because after I finished watching Money in the Bank, I was like, sweet, now I'm gonna watch Raw on Peacock, and then I couldn't. Yeah. And I was like, that's dumb. But anyway, right.
So my other thing for Raw, again, we were just touching upon it, Jeff Hardy and Karrion Kross. I mean, Karrion Kross has been like this unstoppable force on NXT. I think he's actually undefeated in singles competition on NXT. Is. And then he comes onto Raw and loses to Jeff Hardy in 3 minutes with a roll up.
Yeah. Great that Jeff Hardy got his theme song back.
Yeah.
Karrion Kross like buried, like, well, NXT really, like, as your NXT champion, to come out and lose to somebody like, yeah, Jeff Hardy's a legend, but like, who's Jeff Hardy beat recently? When's the last time he was on a major run? You know what I mean? Yeah. 2009, when he had No More Words as his theme song.
And here's the thing though, that it also bothers me. It's like Karrion Kross had like a very generic entrance.
Yeah.
There's no Scarlet.
No smoke and mirrors. No smoke, you know?
Nothing. Yeah. Like, it was just very lame. And I'm like, if this is what they're going to do with him when he comes up to the main roster, please just like leave him on NXT.
Yeah, well, he technically is already on the main roster. That's his debut.
Yeah.
But
I'm saying if they're going to continue doing this
on the main roster. Oh, yeah. Well, I assume he's going to end up dropping the title to Adam Cole.
Baby.
Yeah. And then, you know, Cole probably feud with O'Reilly, Strong, the whole Undisputed Era, and then eventually, hopefully, my man Gargano can take it back. We'll
see what happens.
Yeah, but anyway, what was I going to say about that? Never mind. I'll just go ahead. We'll just move on.
My last point, though, is actually the Nikki A.S.H. winning the Women's Championship.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was great for her. It was definitely unexpected. I didn't really pick her to just be like the, I'm going to cash in on like the golden opportunity of your opponent being beaten down and just left there to like, for you to cash in and just take the title that easily. I figured like she was going to do something else with it. And I'm actually pleasantly surprised about that. I'm happy that I'm wrong.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked, that she just came right out and cashed it in. Even though with the women's Money in the Bank, I've noticed, besides Carmella, who held hers for a little bit and teased cashing in, almost every other women's Money in the Bank winner cashes in either like that night or like the following night. Like
within like a week.
Yeah, because Charlotte Flair, this is the second time it's happened to her within a day. And then there was a third time she's been cashed in on where she was only champion for 5 days. With Charlotte Flair, Jesus, with the less than a week title runs. But the other thing I had to say about tonight, about last night's Raw, was that, what's this championship contender challenges, because they were all different things. Because first of all, Humberto's one, which was the same thing, championship contenders challenge, it was called, the same graphic, was if he beat Sheamus, he got an opportunity at the United States title. Mm-hmm. Now Rhea Ripley's contender challenge was for the title,
right?
So which is it though?
Because here's the whole thing, was
it a different name then. Though that's my point.
I don't think
it's just a title match. It's just a title match. Then it's not contenders challenge. It's a title match. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It was stupid. They're trying hard and they're failing like miserably.
Yeah. One thing that they did actually hit with, they made me actually care about the 24/7 title for once.
Was Reggie getting it? Yeah.
Yeah, because it really did. Like, it was perfect how he was just left, and it's like down the dumps. And I thought that I was like, well, this is the last time we're ever going to see Reginald on TV. He's going to be fired like next week. Like the same as like James Ellsworth when they were like done using him up and then he was just gone.
Don't remind me of him.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Where he's just like one of those side characters that wasn't meant to have a long, you know, stay and then had a longer stay than they probably even should have. But yeah, him winning the title, because after the Tamina Nia Jax match, you know, Tozawa comes out with the whole brigade. He gets them all like to fight each other or something on the ramp. I don't know what they do, if they're just standing there or what, because you don't really see it. The camera doesn't catch it. And then Tozawa is like laughing at them. And then he turns around to see Reggie, who does like a couple of really cool flips and stuff. Does like a corkscrew crossbody.
Yeah, because he's former Circus Soleil.
Yeah. And the coolest part, though, is after he won the title is I just thought it was cool because, like, it's like a guy who
flips up the ramp.
It's like a guy who gets dumped by his girlfriend, and then it's like, yeah, but I just won the lottery, like, right after that. You know, like, he was, like, so happy to win. Yeah, and then he, like, puts on the title and then, flips over the stairs, does like a flip over like two guys and the steps, like, off of the steps. And then, handspring backflips like up the ramp like with the title on, and then does like his like little pose, and it says like Reginald, new 24/7 champion. And I was like, that's awesome, like, because that's what you should, if you are gonna have people chase people with 24/7 title, that's the guy to have get chased around, because that's the guy that
he's gonna make it entertaining.
Yeah, exactly, because he can do things like, you know, climb up scaffolding to escape, or like fit through a small window, or like, you know, something like that, where, you know, he somehow narrowly gets away from you, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean? It's gonna be like the hardcore Holly, where like it was literally Crash Holly, where it was literally 24/7, and like, you know, they just find him random places and he has to try to escape like a ball pit at a fun zone or something.
I remember
that. Yeah.
All right. I got nothing else on this show.
Yeah. That's pretty much it.
All right. So that ends our show for today. We're going to be back one more episode this week. Till then, I'm author Andrew Hess.
And I'm Justin D. Francisco. And join us next time and find out what's on tap.